I'd just like to read the scripture from Luke 2, starting at 1, and then Ian will come up and tell us what it all means. And if we listen carefully, no matter how many times we've heard this message, we might hear something different today. We might hear something that we didn't know. So, Ian, you can shock us if you like. Days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was a census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. There, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping over their flocks at night. And the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Its return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, were just as they had been told.
While I get organised here, I just want to put one word before you, and perhaps you can discuss what that word means to you with the person next to you. And that word is peace. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to think and talk about peace. How are we going there? What things you talked about. I wonder if you mentioned any things like this. The absence of war, for example. Nature? In the community or the government or your neighbourhood or within your family. Inner peace, where you feel happy, content, unstressed and peaceful. Peace with God. Are there any important ones I've missed there? You must have got most of them then. This is a fairly famous painting, which is a storm and there's been lots of rain, and so it certainly looks rather chaotic. But if you have... Oops, what's happened there? If we have a closer look in there, and if I even blow it up, you'll see there's actually a bird nesting there in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of that waterfall and the storm. So it's a visual presentation of what peace can actually mean. Now, there are stories too which can illustrate that. And one is set way back in 1914 during the First World War. And the battle, well, the war was going on, but this was Christmas Day. And starting on this particular Christmas Day, many German and British troops who were fighting in the World War actually took time off from the war. They began to sing carols to each other across the lines. And at certain points, well, a brass band actually played, and there was joyous singing of carols. And at the first light of dawn on Christmas Day, some German soldiers emerged from their trenches and they approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas to their enemies. And at first, the Allied soldiers wondered what was happening. They thought it might have been a trap. But it continued, and the men exchanged presents and they sang carols and songs. And a German lieutenant recalled how marvellously wonderful and yet strange it was, and the English officers felt the same way about it. And thus Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time. And for nearly a week there was peace as they celebrated Christmas there on the battlefield. But of course this time of peace was commendable, but it was far from perfect because it was not lasting. To do this morning, for us to actually look at the Christmas story, and there are two questions in relation to the Christmas story that I want to ask. The first one is, what character in the Christmas story found real peace? And the next question is, with which Christmas character can you best identify? Now, I'm good at asking questions. It's a bit different when I come to answering them. But questions don't always need an answer, but I think thinking about possible answers can be an important thing. Now, let's look at the choice of characters we have to look at. We have a few there. We have Caesar Augustus mentioned in the reading, Quirinius, we have King Herod, and we have Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the angels and the magi, or the wise men. So let's look at the first few verses that we have there. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So let's look at the first characters we mentioned there. I've sort of called these high-profile heavies. These were the people who ran not only the country, but also the whole Roman Empire. So firstly, we have Caesar Augustus. He was the Roman Emperor around about the time then when Jesus was born. And would you believe the month of August was actually named after him? But he was a rather belligerent army leader. For example, he fought against Antony and Cleopatra. And certainly, as an emperor, he seemed more interested in power than in peace. Now, if we look at the next person named there, it was Quirinius. Quirinius served as governor of Syria with authority over Judea until 12 AD. He was involved in military campaigns, and he also was hardly a man of peace. The person mentioned there is Herod, and we don't read about him so much in Luke, but we do in Matthew, Matthew 2 and verse 1. There we were reading, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. What do we know about King Herod? He was famous for some big building projects, Caesarea, Masada, Herodium, and he even rebuilt the second temple. But he wasn't a very nice guy in many other ways. He actually executed his wife and three sons, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and even others. To his credit, though, he engaged in an aid program to combat worldwide hunger. But during his life, he suffered throughout because of depression and paranoia. We know him best from what we read in Matthew, where he gave orders to kill all the boys under the age of 2. The question we need to ask then is, can we identify with any of these people? Can we identify? We identify with Caesar Augustus or Quirinius or Herod, and these folk were more interested in power than in peace. A message for us there too. Now, although we might say, no, we haven't got any aspirations to be Prime Minister or even Premier of New South Wales, there are certain situations where we can express a bit of power, whether that be as parents or whether it be in the workplace. And we need to just consider carefully whether we are using what power we might have or whether peace is a better option. Now then, back at Scripture, Luke 2 and verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So let's consider Joseph, the husband. Luke has little mention of Joseph in the Christmas story until we read about the eighth day when they had to go to, when they went to Jerusalem for circumcision. And Matthew also has little mention during the Christmas story, concentrating on the wise man, until they actually had to flee to Egypt from Jerusalem. And we do know more about Joseph from Matthew chapter 1. We know, for example, that he was a descendant of Abraham. He was a descendant of King David as well, and he was to become the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. And at this stage, he was pledged to be married to Mary. Immediately read in Matthew that he was faced with a dilemma. A dilemma was Mary was pregnant, and he knew that he was not the father. He was a righteous man. So what should he do about this? He wanted to divorce her. He listened to God. God had something very important to say to him, which encouraged him to do otherwise and to take Mary as his wife. He was obedient to what God had said. And he was obedient later on too, when he fled Jerusalem for Egypt. Wanting to identify with Joseph, there are a number of things there that we can be challenged about. We can be challenged particularly about listening to God, and we can be challenged about being obedient to God as well. We can ask the question, did Joseph find real peace? And can you identify with Joseph? Now, like most of us, the peace that Joseph experienced had its ups and downs. There were challenges there as well. So we'll move on then to the next few verses, Luke 2, 5 to 7. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Leads us naturally on to the character of Mary. Mary, the wife of Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary's usually considered the heroine of the Christmas story, and I imagine we do consider that his... We need to go back to Luke chapter 1, though, to encounter the real Mary. We find that she was highly favoured. The Lord is with you. You found favour with God. These are the words that we actually read earlier on in Luke. But, on the other hand, she was greatly troubled. She was questioning. But she was humbled and dumbfounded when she was told that she would actually bear the Son of God. She humbly accepted her role, the role that God was calling her to be the Lord's servant. And also, amongst all this, she managed to find time to support her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with John the Baptist. So Mary was able to willingly praise God, and we have a very famous song called Magnificat that we find also there in the Bible. So Mary gave birth to that special child when he was born, and he was laid in a feedstock cloth, a feedstock trough, because the inn was full. And she was able to care for that child in far from ideal surroundings. She also hosted visitors, shepherds from the fields, but still she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And she was prepared to go at night and flee with the family to Egypt when they were under threat from Herod. So, did Mary find real peace? I suppose there were times, yes, when she did. We identify with Mary with many of the attributes which she had, prepared to humbly accept being the Lord's servant. And are we prepared for many of the difficult situations that she was placed into, getting up in the middle of the night to flee to Egypt, for example? The passage from Luke, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests." Angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Jerusalem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The most verses in the Christmas story are given to the shepherds and the heavenly hosts. The shepherds were the herdsmen. They were the people who lived out in the fields. They were terrified by the heavenly host. So they were especially comforted, though, and chosen to receive the glory of God and the good news. They responded immediately to the good news. They rushed off to see the newborn baby. They spread the word concerning the child, the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord. They were amazed, and they amazed their hearers. The shepherds found real peace. Well, at one stage there they were terrified, but they were comforted. To identify with the shepherds in any way, there is much we can be challenged by with their story. Terrified, but they were comforted when they received the glory of God, when they turned to God. They responded immediately to the good news, and they rushed off to see the newborn baby. Not only that, but they spread the word concerning the child, the Saviour, the Messiah. Amazed, and they amazed their hearers. Take the opportunities that we have to share the good news which those about us can hear. And then we have the angel and the heavenly hosts. They radiated the glory of the Lord. Do we always radiate his glory as well as we should? We're bearers of comfort, of good news, of great joy. We can be challenged to fulfill that role as well. They thought of a Saviour, a Messiah, a Lord, which is what we should be sharing as well. They told that the sign of this would be in the form of a baby wrapped in cloth in a manger. The angel himself was joined by the heavenly host praising God, and the host singing glory to God in the highest. Do we give that praise to God as often as we ought to? Do we proclaim peace for those who have found God's favour? Identify with the angels. There are many points there we can be challenged about as well. If we look then into Matthew 2, we see the story about the Magi, or the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And so on from there to the story of the wise men. But the wise men were searching. They were seeking to worship a king. They followed God's leading. They followed the star. They were overjoyed. They worshipped him. They opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts. Did the wise men find a real peace? In many ways they did. In many ways they achieved their purpose. Identify with the wise men. Searching. Maybe some of us are still searching for God if we haven't really found him yet. Or maybe we're searching for a closer relationship with him. And the wise men followed God's leading. And as a result of this, they were overjoyed because they found the object of their search. They found the baby Jesus, and they worshipped him, and they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts. Did those men find real peace? Yes, I imagine they did find peace. We identify with the wise men in those areas. Now, Eric Metaxas, his 2014 book called Miracles, tells an amazing story of a friend of his who found peace in a rather miraculous way. Now, Eva Meyer had a big heart, but had a wayward older sister whose substance abuse had led her into many difficulties, and she had children that she was not able to care for. Firstly, a daughter from 5 weeks old, and then a son when he was a newborn. And Eva, who was her sister, her responsibility to look after these two children. She had no rights as a mother, but there was both joy and agony in the task that she felt that she was called to do. And things improved for a while, and then 10 years later, Eva's older sister gave over their care again. But by this time, there were 6 children in all, from 1.5 to 10 years, and they were dumped on Eva again, while the older sister chased after a new man. But Eva was determined this time not to become emotionally attached to the toddler who was crying in the next room. But she found herself burning with anger because of her sister. But she noticed in her bedroom, over near the curtains, there was a strange shadow. And as she looked more and more at that shadow, she saw that there was a figure forming there, and it turned out to be a figure so much like Jesus Christ himself. And the more she looked at him, the more she found that it was Jesus staring at her. At first she was filled with terror and was awed and speechless, but she prayed, and this presence became more and more real to her. All the fear melted away as she felt herself being bathed in love and a warm, comforting presence. Jesus prayed over her and stayed at the foot of her bed all night. The rage and hate had gone, and she drifted off to sleep. She managed to untangle all the knots in her heart, and the toddler in her care began crying, but she ran to him, and with renewed attitude, with one of love, she attended to him. She had carried out a real transformation in her life and given her real and lasting peace that only Jesus can give. On Eva was married, and she had children herself, and she was declared that toddler's sole legal parent. But God had worked a miracle there in her life to bring peace to her. And real peace, then, I think the message might have come through, is not the calm, but real peace is the presence of God in the storm. So there are many challenges there as we seek to identify with the characters that we have there in the Christmas story. And we can ask, did they find peace? How much did they find peace? And the challenge this Christmas to us is, how much do we find peace? If we look out there in the world, we may not see it, because the peace which is most important for us is peace with God. Peace with God, which can then come into our own lives and into our own hearts. and translate into that inner peace, which then will hopefully spread to those that we mix with, those within our family, those within our neighbourhood, those within our community, those on the sporting fields, those in the workplace, wherever we mix. So that's our message for this Christmas, that we take on that peace and spread it to others. Let's pray. We do just thank you, Lord, for the message of Christmas. There are many messages in there that we can take home. And we just pray, Lord, that you will not only give us that peace, you will give us a closer relationship with you to even enhance that peace. And we pray that as a result of that, your peace will radiate from us to those that we encounter, not only this Christmas, but as we move on into a new year and as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as we prepare for the coming week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.